Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, listeners. Here it is once more and again, Wednesday night inspirational Bible study hosted by Diane Adams. It is always a pleasure and an honor to be with you on Wednesday night and looking to receive the things of God that he has promised for his people. Before I get on with the lesson, I'm going to start a song. And once the song is over, we'll come back with the lesson. But I want to say thanks to everybody that called in. And if you want to get your Bibles, the lesson is going to come from the book of James. And it's going to be still in the first chapter. We're going to complete the first chapter of James that we started on last week. But we're coming from James 1, 19 through 27. And once the song is finished playing, I'll come back to you and we'll start the lesson. Be blessed.
Nobody greater than you.
Yes, and that was a wonderful song, Nobody Greater Than My God. That songwriter said he looked all over. He couldn't find nobody. He searched high and low and still couldn't find nobody. God is the ultimate, the criminal of cray. He's up there all by himself. Hallelujah. There's nobody greater than God. And as always, I have to thank God, the Father, God, the Son, and God, the Holy Spirit, for allowing us to be here again on Wednesday night, looking at the studio, the board, and it's being lit up. So I want to thank each and every one of you for calling in again on Wednesday to come and as we explore the Word of God together. Our topic for tonight is, it's time to stop listening. It's time to stop just listening, and it's time to start doing. We're going to come from James, the first chapter, the 19th through the 27th verse. So if you got your Bibles, we're in the book of James again tonight in the first chapter. And we're going to do that. So you could get your Bibles. I think you might need a pencil and some paper because James is a practical writer. And it's going to be just information that you could practically apply to your life. And I guarantee you that it'll make a difference. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, gracious God, the giver of every perfect gift, Lord, we enter your gates with thanksgiving and to your courts with praise. Heavenly Father, we're giving you honor and glory because you're worthy. Like the songwriter said, there's nobody greater than you. Heavenly Father, we just asking that you be in our midst and in our deeds and that you be in this Bible study, dear God. And everyone that is asking and looking to receive whatever they need, dear God, I'm asking that you grant it for them. God, I thank you for each and every listener that decided to call in, dear God. And Holy Ghost, I'm asking you to have your way in this place tonight. I'm asking that you visit each home that is represented here and you open up their ears and their hearts and their mind to receive what you're saying. Hallelujah. And that you give them illumination and revelation, dear God, that it can carry them through. Because we're living in perilous times, dear God, and we need the Word of God to be our strength. We need it to hold on to because we realize that only what we do for Christ is going to last. But Heavenly Father, I just come to you humbly. I decrease as you increase, and I give all permission, honor and glory to you, and you can have your way with me. I submit right now your servants unto your will. In Jesus' name, amen, and thank God. Well, tonight's lesson is coming from the book of James. Last week we were in the book of James. And if you remember, I asked the listeners if they would like the next study to be on a particular subject. You know, and a caller did call me. It was a lady from home of Louisiana. And she asked, could I finish the first chapter of James? And that's what we're going to do tonight. As always, I tell you something about the book of the characters. And I'm going to be short with this because we're going to review last week. We're going to go into this week, and we're going to finish the first chapter on the day. But I want you to know that the book of James is a challenge to all faithful followers of Jesus Christ to not just talk the talk, but begin to walk the walk. You see, at some point, you got to be certain about your faith walk. And the only way that you can be sure is it's going to require that you grow in the knowledge about the Word of God. You see, you got to have Christian growth to be effective in your faith walk. You know, we have to grow up and mature. And God uses everything in his creation for to create us to be the best that we can and be the full, entire, and wanting nothing. You see, God wants us to have it all, but we have to cooperate and we have to grow and we have to study. You know, the book of James, you know, some people are find it challenging because as James have, in the book of James, there are 60 obligations that James feel that a Christian should do. And in the book of James, there's only 108 verses, but there are 60 obligations. Remember, James is a practical scholar. You know, he's practical in his thinking. Excuse, and that's the way his book will read. But I want to give you a little rebuke, and you could really test yourself on this, you know, and as we go with this, we'll be able to see. But, you know, last week we studied James, the first chapter, verses 1 through 9, and the topic of that was Christians are not exempt from trials and tribulations. I don't know if y'all remember it, and most of the callers was on the call last week. But that's what we have to do with the Word of God. We have to learn to, when we just hear it, don't let it just go by the wayside. We have to meditate on the Word of God day and night, that it becomes a part of us. But that was last week's lesson, and James was letting us know that we will have trials and temptations. He didn't say you might. He said that we will have them, not if, but when we do, all God always provide a way to escape. If we apply the Word of God in times of trouble, we will be strengthened and we will land on our feet intact. Jesus applied the Word of God himself when Satan came to tempt him. You know, Satan was telling Jesus this and telling Jesus that, and Jesus just gave him the Word of God. He told him man should not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. Jesus didn't argue with him. He didn't get angry. He used the Word of God, stood his ground and wait for God to deliver. And God did. James said we should expect our trials and temptations with joy, realizing that God is in control and the trying of our faith worketh patience. Y'all remember that last week when the scripture said, let patience have her perfect work? And we talked about using patience in dealing with all errors in every situation of our lives so that we will be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. He lets us know that wisdom is necessary, and we can only receive it if we ask of it from God. Everything that you do must be done in faith, and wavering caused us to be double-minded. You remember last week they talked about a double-minded man is not stable. And he couldn't receive anything from God in that state. And what was the bottom line of the lesson last week? Say, even though we love the Lord, we will have trials and be tempted in our lives. Now, the lesson tonight is going to be James, the first chapter, but the text that I'm going to review the most is going to be 19 through 27. But I did a little synopsis of James 1, which picks off from last week, for James 1, 9 through 18, just so you could have the middle. We did the beginning. The lesson's going to be mainly on the end, and right now I'm giving you a piece of the middle, so you would have the entire, you can have some information on the entire chapter, first chapter of James. Now, James 1, 9, and 18 let us know that God does not tempt us. Who is the tempter and why God allow us to be tempted? Now, you see, if we break the first chapter of James into three parts, the first one say that Christians will have trials and tribulations. The second part from 9 through 18 was telling us that we will be tempted and, you know, it won't be God won't be the tempter. And then when we get to the last part is what our lesson is letting us know that we should stop just listening and start doing. That sound mighty fine to me. So here we go. Now this is the James 9 chapter through 18, the first chapter, I'm sorry, verses 9 through 18. Let us know that God doesn't tempt us. See, that verse let us know that God does not tempt us. He let us know who the tempter is and why we allow to be tempted. You see, these verses, 9 through 18, explain who the real tempter is and where temptation originates from. If you look all through the Bible, you will see that Satan is the greatest tempter, and God is the greatest deliverer. I'll say that again. Satan is the greatest tempter, and God is the greatest deliverer. When you look at the word evil, if you put a D in front of it, it's going to spell devil. You see, God could never tempt you with evil because evil is not even a part of his will or his nature. You see, God doesn't use anything outside of his will, which is his word, or go against his nature to bring anything into fruition and lessen on using something to make you fall. See, God is what he is, and what he is all good and it's perfect. So God don't have to pick up other things and throw it in there, and if it's against his will and his word, you know, God has nothing to do with evil. God is the author and the finisher of our faith. God doesn't tempt with evil because evil is the absence of good. You'll say, well, what is evil? Evil is the absence of good. You would say, well, God deal with evil? God didn't have to deal with evil. Everything that God made, it was good. Now, remember that, what I just said. Everything that God made was good, and God is good. So, you know, some people go around and say, God made me do this, or God made me do that. I hear some people sometimes saying something came up in their life, and they knew it wasn't really right, and they was contemplating if they should deal with it, and they say, you know, I just don't want to fool with that because God might be tempting me. God does not operate like that. God say God does not operate like that, believe me. God does not tempt man, but God will test man. But the tempter, the great tempter, which is Satan, will tempt. And because God can get the good from you being tempted, he uses it and it becomes a trial, a tribulation. And in that, he's trying to get you to be the best that you could be. He's trying to develop you into maturity. Because you see, if there was no test, there would be no success. Come on now. You see, James 1 and 14 said, but every man is tempted with evil because of evil that is within them, their own lust, and they entice. That's how man is tempted. Man, that's the scripture saying. Look at James 1 and 14. Says, every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and entice. And verse 15 talks about God allowed the temptation. The tempter, the great tempter, which is Satan, present the temptation. God allow the temptation, but we have to accept the thought. And once we accept the thought that being put on us by Satan to cause us pain, suffering, and failure, if we accept the thought, once it is conceived in our mind, it is turned into sin, and it brings forth death. That's the scripture, 15 verse. But I want you to know that that death can be spiritual or physical and spiritual both together. You know, there's some sins that's in our life that's destroying our body, and that's causing us to physically be decayed. So when sin have its way, it could cause spiritual or physical death or both. And then James 1 and 17 say, but every good and perfect gift comes from above and comes from the Father of life, with whom there is no variance, neither shadow of turning. Okay, what I'm saying. This is a very important and necessary verse for us to understand that God is all good and will never change, and he is always referred to as light. Remember, light is the absence of darkness, so then darkness is the absence of light. You know, God didn't have to go around and try to teach us to do bad. If you got a little child, 1 or 2 years old, and that child is in the home, and you're telling that child not to do something, and soon as you walk out the room, the child is looking to see if you're there so they could do what you done told them what not to do, to touch what they shouldn't touch. You know, and then if you ask them about it, they're going to lie. You know, I didn't do it. You didn't sit down and teach that child wrong. You didn't sit there and teach that child to live. We have that sin nature because of what Adam did in the garden. But, oh, thanks be to God, what Jesus did on the cross has delivered us from the punishment and the sting of death. But that's in us. That's the sin nature. That's why we accept Christ and become a new creature. You know, and we talk about being born again, and some people can't understand the concept of that. But we became new creatures. And behold, all things are passed away, and behold, all things should become new. But we got to play a part in that. God is steadily trying to tell us to mature and stop doing anything and everything and thinking every thought and just still tap dancing with Satan when you get ready and, you know, and all sorts of things. You see, God allowed evil because we are free moral agents, which means we have the right to make a decision and to choose for ourselves. You see, God is the light, and evil, which is darkness, is allowed that we can have something to choose from. If God forced all goodness, you wouldn't have nothing but goodness. And then it wouldn't be fair for his people because he said, I want you to choose this day. You see, as I said earlier, darkness is the absence of light. So you do the math and choose ye this day who you will serve. God didn't want us to be robots. Come on now. Praising him by force. But he wants us to choose him and to praise him because of the love we have for him. You see, God does everything for us and have done and still is doing. God gave his only begotten son for us, and that should be enough reason for you to love him. So when you got the two things in front of you, good and evil, choose you this day which one you want to serve. And you cannot serve two mammons because you're going to either hate one and love the other one. Hallelujah. And you see right then and there, James 4 and 7 said, if you resist the devil, he has to flee. He didn't say he might flee. He has to flee. Now, that was the middle part of the first chapter of James. We reviewed the first part. That was a synopsis of the scriptures that was in the middle. And now we're going into the lesson scriptures for tonight, which is James 19 and 27. If anybody needs some information and you want to talk to me at the end of the program, I see a one button is pressed already on the phone. You know, it's time for us to discuss these letters, and you bring something to let's just enhance it. You know, I always tell y'all, I do not know everything. You might have something that you could add to this, and I will welcome it, and everybody will understand it. If you could bring something to it, just bring it. When I get through with the lesson, press the one button, and I'll open the mic. Okay, we had James 19 and 27. it says, this part of that first chapter of James is letting us know what we should do with the truth once we receive it. Okay, you say the truth. What is the truth? The gospel of Jesus Christ, the word and the salvation plan for our life, all that God designed for us to have a righteous life. See, that's the truth. The word of God is the truth. Jesus say, I am the way, the truth, and the light. Hallelujah. Anybody can't come to me unless they go through the Father, the truth. So that's what James is saying right here. He's saying, he's letting us know that what we should do with the truth once we receive it. And then our lesson topic is saying, you know, it's time to stop just listening and start doing. And we're in the 19th verse right now. And the scripture said we should be swift to hear. When something is going on or about to go down, the scripture said, therefore, my brethren, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. And I want you to know that wrath means anger. You see, the scripture say we should be swift to hear. When something is going down or about to go down, just hear, listen, be still, and listen to what is being said. And then you apply the word of God in your thoughts. And if you must, then you speak. You have to stop allowing any and everybody to speak foolishness in your ear. Listening to gossip is unprofitable for you. It's unprofitable for the one that is speaking it. It has no profit or no profit or effect for the person that's being spoken about. And I want you to know, if someone is gossiping to you, it's a great possibility that they're also gossiping about you. And I always say one of the things that gets me, that it's just funny, you know. People can talk about people all day long, every time they get ready. But let them hear somebody saying something about them, and they're ready to go to war. If you ever say it's something about somebody, take it when somebody says something about you. There is no different. It's not no more better coming out of your mouth. Think about the things we, and I ain't talking about just y'all. I'm talking about we. But you see, I'm under construction. God is not through with me yet. And this word is teaching me how to get to level and level and higher and higher. And I want you to know, I believe in the whole Bible. I believe Genesis to Revelation. I believe it, and I haven't achieved it all yet. But I'm pressing for the mark of the prize for the high calling, which is Christ Jesus. You know, the Bible says we should listen more than we speak. When we talk too much and listen too little, we communicate to others that we think our ideas are more important than theirs. You know anybody like that? And it's amazing how God gave us two ears and one mouth. We all heard the phrase, loose lips sink ships. So I had to go look that up because it sounded good for me to put it in the paper, but I don't put stuff unless I understand. And I looked it up, and it was a saying that they had in World War II in the U.S. Office of War, and it expressed unguarded speech. That's what that phrase, they created that phrase for unguarded speech. And it said it applied to excessive talking. You know, that was a code from, they didn't want their secrets to get out. And you know, they say, you know, loose, you know, you couldn't have loose lips and be that. So that's what we should be trying to practice. You see, when we, if we are not careful in our speech, it can cause hurt, pain for ourselves as well as others. And I got some scriptures for you, so if you got a pen and a paper, Ephesians 4:29 say, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearer. That's what you should be, you know, kind of using with your mouth. You shouldn't have corrupt communication. And listen, if we still cursing in our lives, you know, I say cursing is the absence of a good vocabulary. You know, cursing used to kind of mean something, but today people just use it as general conversation. But it's corrupt communication. I just threw that in. But they say, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to be used for the edifying, that it may minister grace to the youth. When you're talking to somebody and you're a member of the body of Christ, a sister, a brother in Christ, you should be edifying the person that you talking to. You should be talking about the word of God. You should be talking encouragement. You should be talking things that can build them up. You could be giving them praise, because the Bible says, to whom much is given, much is required. Those are the things. You should be talking to them about things that are lovely, things that are good, things that are of a good report. You know, that's what we should be talking. We should be edifying one another and administering grace to the hearer. So with that scripture, I'll give you a little one-line hitter. If you can't say anything good, then don't say anything at all. The next verse I got for you is Proverbs 21:23. And that verse said, whosoever keep his mouth and his tongue will keep his soul from trouble. Y'all can believe that. First of all, it's said in the word of God. And second of all, because it makes sense. Because I read somewhere else in the book of Proverbs, and it says, if you talk too much, you will eventually get in trouble. There's no ifs or buts about it. If you keep talking and you talk too much, you'll get in trouble. And Matthew 12:36 says, I tell you, this one here is something. I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give an account for every careless word they speak. Matthew 12:36, go look it up. It says, I tell you, on a day of judgment, people will give account for every careless word they speak. And what I want to say about that scripture is, you will be, and you are being judged daily by the words you're speaking. And please stop saying anything that you don't mean or have intentions of doing. Because when you keep doing that, that just becomes lies. It just becomes lies. The Bible says, let your yeas be yeas and your nays be nays. If you say it is, the Bible teaches us that, you know, what we have is our word, is our bond. Learn, you know, the words that come out of my, let's have a word. Let's have a word that means something. Let's have a word that is backed up by character. We got to remember, we are the body of Christ. James wrote the book of James, and in the first chapter, it's all about, his whole book is about how Christians should live. You know, I could do a lesson talking about this, or I could do a talking like this, but let's get to the basics, because this, you know, this is just what it is. And verse 20 says, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. The word wrath, as I said earlier, means anger. Anger can cause you to do or to say something that is not of God. We should humble ourselves in the midst of anger. The world tells us that meekness is weakness, but the word of God explained that meekness is strength under control. Once we do something in anger, let me tell y'all, you can't erase it. Once something come out of your mouth, you can't grab it back. And as I said earlier, loose lips sink ships, and things done in anger, you can't erase. You see, once the action of anger goes forth, and anger accomplish its goal, because you remember Satan is backing that up because he's the greatest tempter, and he's trying to bring you to places you don't want to be. He tried to take every little thing that's said or done and turn it into anger in your mind. And if you're not guarding your mind and your heart, it will be easy for that to penetrate. Because he came but to kill, steal, and destroy. And he can only play in your mind. Guard your mind and your heart with due diligence, the word of God. You see, so once it accomplishes your goal, once the action of anger goes forth and it accomplishes goal, see, that's when Satan is satisfied. And once it accomplishes goal and you acting real crazy and doing things you don't want to do, he walk away and leave you. You see, at that point, when it accomplishes goal, you are no longer in control. And you will do something you wish you wouldn't have done. And now you can't take it back. You see, anger is the thing that has broken homes, ruined relationships, and caused physical debt. Remember, the devil plant the seed of evil, which is temptation. But we have to embrace it in order for it to become full grown. You see, because a thought in and of itself is nothing. It has no power. It's just a thought. It's not the thought. It's what you do with the thought. It's the action behind the thought. Come on now, hallelujah. If you took and visit the prison today and asked the prisons who are locked up, they will tell you, if I could have controlled myself, listen at this. They will probably tell you, if I could have controlled myself, I would have saved myself. Keep in mind trials, temptations, and tests. For you to make it through these things, it requires silence. Stop talking, and patient. Because guess what? Talk inflames anger, and anger inflames talk. When anger and talk is working together, usually there's an explosion. Anger also shut up the ears. Oh, hallelujah. Anger shut up your ears. You could be in that anger and you doing this and that and you think you got it going on and you got the big head and I told him and I did this and you did that. No profit. No profit. Because watch this. Anger also shut up the ears. Shut up your ears from hearing from God. You're so angry you can't even think straight. You know, I've had some people say, I'm so angry, and you're trying to talk them out of what they think they want to go do, and they so angry till they're not even listening. You know, and you could tell them something simple, when you go do that, and then what? But they can't hear. So anger can stop up your ears from hearing from God, and it can also stop God from hearing and stop it. Anger can shut up your ears from hearing from God and God from hearing from you. Many times our anger erupts when our egos are bruised. You know, stop being, you know, like a child. Be grown up and mature Christian that God has created you to do. You got to realize we live in this world, and this world don't love nobody, and anything goes. Man, woman, boy, girl, everybody is doing, not everybody, but There's a lot of people that's doing what seems right in their own mind. There's a lot of people where God has turned over to a reprobate mind. And there's a lot of people that are not saved. If you on your job or you and you allow them to bring you into places and you save, you're supposed to have more to work with. You're supposed to have more understanding, knowledge, and truth. You're supposed to have more strength, and you're supposed to have all the things that God has engrafted into you to use at these situations. And yet, we allow ourselves to be pulled in. You know, stop worrying about your feelings getting hurt all the time. It's not right what people do, and every situation is not right. But how we express ourselves and how we allow ourselves to be. Because, you know, people are looking at us. That's why some people say that it don't even make sense to be a Christian, because Christians don't change. And they haven't changed. And they act just like us, and they do just like us, and they go where we go, and they, you know, the Bible teaches us that we are set apart. And I'm not talking about being perfect. I'm not even talking about not having fun. I'm not even speaking about enjoying yourself. But there should be some change, because there should be some growth. You see, there are times when we should be angry concerning injustices and the sins going on in the world. But you see, selfish anger does not help nobody. And then when we go to the 21st verse, it says, wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your soul. James is advising us to get rid of all of the wrong things in our life and humbly accept the salvation message that we receive, which is the word of God that God implanted in us. Because it alone can save us. Nothing else, just Jesus, 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 Jesus. Not Jesus plus circumcision, not Jesus plus tithes, not Jesus plus how many Sundays you go to church, not Jesus plus Jesus, this deed or that deed. We don't work, as James say, to get saved, but once we saved, we should want to work, not deeds, Jesus. We must stop doing and worrying about all of the wrong things. You have to decide what you're going to allow to enter your spirit. Do you realize you have to protect your spirit? Just like you have to protect your mind and your heart. If you let your spirit, your mind, and your heart just be out there, and when it get attacked, it has no covering, it don't have on armor, it don't have anything, it will take you into places you don't want to go. Stop worrying and stop doing anything. And we're going to always have something else, because, you see, we live in the flesh. You see, when Jesus comes back and the dead in Christ going to rise, and those who still here and it's called the rapture, and we'll be taken up in the sky, and you see what's going to happen. The day that's going to rise out the grave, the flesh is going to already be gone, and the ones that goes up in the twinkling of the eye, well, then, you know, their flesh is going to be gone. Until we have our glorified bodies, which all of the flesh will be removed, we going to make mistakes. We going to get tricked by Satan, maybe every now and then. Hopefully it's now and then and not all the time. So I'm not trying to give you a message for you to be perfect, because all of God's word is action and trying to teach us how to line up with the likeness of his son. And I say it, likeness. To be a Christian is to be Christ-like. But it's our job to mature in the things of God. And, you know, some of the things we used to do, we don't do no more. And we still have some things in our lives. And all I'm asking her to do is visit it. No more, no less. You see, in 22 and 23 said, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any of you are hearers of the word and not doing, he's like a man beholding his natural face in a glass. And that glass there is representation of a mirror. You see, it is important to listen to what God's word says, but it is much important to obey it, to do what it says. It's time to stop listening to what the word says and start doing what it says. We must measure our effectiveness. We must measure the effectiveness of our Bible study time together by the effect it has on your behavior and attitude. Oh, Bible study is good. Is it affecting your behavior, attitude? You know, can you see a difference? Are these lessons meaning anything to you? Is it giving you something to just want to do better for? Do you put what you learn and study, not just on Wednesday nights, but in your Bible studies, your Sunday schools, and for the message the pastor give over the pulpit, do you put it into action, what you studied? You see, don't be like the man that looked in the mirror and he looked quickly and he moved on. But when you look, study, and see what it's all about and try to remember, meditate on it. Remember, some people will never read the Bible, but they will read you. Each and every one of us have. Now, this is the best part of the lesson. I believe I could have said this, and then we could have sung some songs. But this is what I want you to understand. Each and every one of us have enough word in us to do better. Each one of us have enough word in us to decide about something, or one thing, to do better. Wherever you are in your Christian walk, I just came to encourage you, to let you know that you have enough word in you to change something in your life for the good. I don't care how much you know. I don't care how less you know. We all know right from wrong. We all know that Jesus died for our sins. We all know that God loves us and God wants us to be, obey and submit. If you don't know nothing else about God, or you don't know all what God says for you to do because you're not there in your Christian walk, obey and submit and choose right from wrong. And remember, light is the absence of darkness. And if you don't have no light, then you're in darkness and you need to get to the light. That's simple. That's simple. Once you hear the word of God, just do them. All things will be added to you. You will have peace that surpasses all understanding. Mercy and grace will be your friend. Blessings, you will have blessing that you won't have enough room to receive them. You will have unspeakable joy, and you're going to receive the crown of glory that was spoken in the last week's lesson. And that crown of glory is not to be delivered here. But that's in eternity when we get to the other side with him. You see, God took care of our sin state, and he's delivering us right now in this process of sanctification, this progressional part of sanctification we're in now. He's taking care of us daily, and he's going to take care of us over there. So I thank God for what he's done and what he's doing right now and what he planned to do. You see, that's what I'm talking about. All of us have enough information to make a conscious decision to just change something in our lives for the good. And then they have the 24th, the 25th, and the 26th verse. I suggest that you read those tonight and take the information from last week and the synopsis of the middle of the lesson from this week, and that's what you use for your private study. You go over the things that went forward, and you ponder on them, and you meditate on them, and you tell the Holy Ghost you want illumination. Because first of all, I tell you, I don't know everything. Second of all, I cannot give illumination, and I cannot give revelation. I can only give information. You know, there's a parable about the soul with the seed, and God say when the word, you know, Satan is, when you get a word from God, when you have a word from God, Satan is right there trying to snatch it. And in a lot of cases, it's easy for him to just scoop it up, because after you get through, you know, you don't do nothing with it. And it's up there for the pickings. You know, they used to always say, you know, back in the day, and even now, you see people and they went to church and they say, oh, church was so good. Oh, man, church was good. And you say, what book of the Bible came from? Girl, I don't remember that. What text he came from? I don't remember that, but they were so good. You see, Satan is ready to snatch that from you. You have to guard your head, your heart, and your spirit with due diligence. The word of God says. And then, you know, we got to be careful when we be in church on Sunday and the pastor give a word and we speak to the pastor and we say, Pastor, that word was some good for some people I know. I know a lot of people that could use that word. But do you say what you could use it for? Examine thyself first before you try to say that word was good for somebody else. The word of God is good for all of us because it's for reproach, for correction, for edifying, daily instruction for daily living. It's all that you will ever need to live a righteous life. And God said in Philippians 1:6, they say the wonderful work that he has begun in all of us, and I'm closing. He's able to perform it until Jesus come back again. So you don't have to worry. You know, plenty of times people say, Diane, you don't worry about nothing. It's not that I don't worry about things. I be concerned, and I, like the scripture said, get angry about the things that's happening in the world. But you see, I'm not going to panic till it's time. Now, when somebody could prove to me that Jesus, that God done came off his throne and Jesus done left the right hand from him interceding for my behalf, well then, because you know only what you do for Christ will last. And God is in total control and can't nobody do you like Jesus. Well, that's my lesson for tonight. I pray that someone was edified. And we gave Satan made him a little horrified. Hallelujah. And I pray that God was edified. I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart was acceptable unto God. And at this time, I'm asking anyone who would like to make a statement, ask for prayer, word of encouragement, anything, just press the one button. And just like last week, if someone want to talk about a special topic, if you press the one button and give the information, we could use that in one of our future studies. But if anybody have anything to say, you could press the one button. All right, right now it's 9:24. You know, that statement that I made, that all of us have enough word in us. If we never picked up another Bible in our lives, if we never entered another church, we have heard enough word in our lives that we could change something for the good. And that's enough. Because you see, we live in this world, but we don't be of this world, and our Christian journey is a process. It's not a destination. Some of the failures in some people's life, they think they done reached the top, which that's called self-righteousness. And some of them are so spiritual till they ain't no more earthly good. But, you know, this is a process that we're in, and we going to fall short. But the trick is to grow, Christian growth. If I brought a little baby and you guys was able to see it, and it's a child, and he's 12 years old, and he's still crawling, and I asked you the question, what was, you know, what would you have to say about this child? You would say that something has happened. He, you know, he's not developing, you know, correctly, you know, that he's, you know, that there's a problem. But for us to be on our Christian journey for year after year, day after day, month after month, and we still in the same state and condition we was when we start, I'm not judging, but something ain't right. But that's another lesson. So at this time, it's 9:26. I don't have anything lit up on the board. I'm going to go ahead and do the prayer, or maybe just do the, well, do a prayer, and then I'll put some music on, and the 8:30 hour will approach, and as always, I tell you 1 hour. You know, and I like to say 1 hour, because, you know, people get weary when they say things is too long. You know, they go to a church, you know, at church they too long. Come on, y'all. And yet you do other things that take longer than that, and you know, you don't say nothing. But, you know, it's important for me to say an hour once I do the prayer and I put the music on. Anyone who want to continue to listen to music, and I'm going to still be on the air. And if you want to speak even at that time, since you don't want to speak now because no one has the one button, you may press the one button and you'll still be able to speak. So let me pray. Dear Heavenly Father, gracious God, Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for your word. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the writers of the Bible. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the example of James that you allowed us to be able to go and get the word. You know, people in the Old Testament didn't have the word that they could go, and we got it, and yet we handle it so carelessly. But, Lord, I'm asking that you strengthen us and that you regulate our mind and you give us a desire to even want more. Lord, you said in your word in Philippians 2:13, it is you that worketh in us to will and to do your good pleasures. Have your good pleasures with us, dear God. Everyone that calls in, keep calling back every month, every Wednesday, and we are in position to receive from you, dear God. We in position to receive from you just as we are. And I'm expecting it, dear God, because you said it. You're going to will and do your good pledges in us. You say we need to obey and submit. These people are coming back week after week. That's commitment, dear God. And I know you smile on it and you say no good deed go undone. Lord, we're not coming together for form and fashion because we don't even know one another. Hallelujah. We don't know how each other look. We don't know none of that, but we come together on Wednesday night, dear God, to hear your word. And all I could do is say thank you. And Lord, if it's your will, we'll meet back again on next week. Lord, and we're going to be so careful to give you the praise, the honor, and the glory. Bless every home that is represented here, dear God. Heavenly Father, fix the children, dear God. Hallelujah. Heal a brokenhearted. Be a doctor in a sick room, dear God. These are your children. We're your children, dear God, and we're searching, and we come in to meet you on Wednesday night. And you say if two or more are gathered in your name, you'll be in the midst. And I know it's more because the board is lit up, and you have to honor it, dear God. You say come boldly to the throne of grace. And here we are, dear God, and I'm coming on behalf of the listeners that's on the telephone or even the Internet or wherever they get it, dear God, on an MP3 player. You said it. And I'm asking, dear God, and I realize it's not my will, but it's your will, but I'm asking, dear God, and you gave us permission to come to your throne of grace boldly. Have your way, dear God. Take the lesson that went forth, dear God, and penetrated in our hearts. Use it to regulate our mind, dear God, and give us the desire to even want more. In Jesus' name, amen, and thank God. Well, it's 8:30 on the dot, and I'm going to play music. I'm still in the studio. I'm still looking. I can see if you press a one button. I'm waiting to hear from you. If you got a little word of encouragement. Some people, you know, I don't know if it's your first time calling in and I don't know who you are. I know some of the listeners, but some numbers on here I'm not familiar with. I don't want to call you out, but I thank God for each and every one of you. But if you want to just press the one button and even just tell us your name and where you're from, you know, I would appreciate it. I would appreciate it. But right now I'm going to put this song on, and it says that God has done enough. If God doesn't do anything else for me, I don't know about you. See, I can only talk about me. If God doesn't do anything else for me, he done enough. And I'll still praise his name, and I'll still say hallelujah, and I still know that I'm going to make it through. Because God is a faithful God. Trust him. Because when you trust God, you're saying you know he know best. And I know he know best. And this record is he's done enough. Listen and enjoy. and ask, has he done enough? If there's someone on the line or on the internet who would like to make a comment, at this time you could still press the 1 on your phone, and I will open the mic and you will come through the studio. If you would like to make a comment at this time, you can. If you press the 1 button, I still have callers on the line, so all I can do is play some more music, and you're welcome to listen. You know, because there's also, you know, a message in song. So I'll play another song and just enjoy it. And when all the callers has hung up, well, then I'll close the studio. So, another song. I'll select something else. I'll play What Is This by Bishop Walter Hawkins.
Make folks say I'm acting strange.
And that song was Whatever It Is. Again, I thank each and every one of you. And Tamika, I just want to say thank you for calling in tonight again. I want you to know that I love you so much. And it put joy in my heart each and every time I see your number come up on the board. Stay strong in your Christian walk, because God will not fail you. And this is the last call. For anybody who would like to say anything, press the one button on your phone. If no one would like to speak, we're going to end the program for the night. And I pray that God be with you until we meet again. So there's no one would like to say anything. Love you. Good night. Good night, Tamika, and everyone else that is listening in on the radio, or either the Blog Talk Radio, or either on the internet. God be with you until next Wednesday, and we'll meet again if God says the same. Amen, and thank God. See you next week.